Our Bible reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning to read at verse 12. You'll find that on page 1153 in the Pew Bibles. It's titled, Unity and Diversity in the Body. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concerns for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Amen.
Good morning. Do please find that passage again in your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's on page 1153 in the church Bibles. And let's pray. Father, help us as we look at and listen to your word now. May my words be faithful and true. May our hearts be helped by you to understand and to respond, that we may be the church you'd have us be. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're starting a new series today, a short series of three, looking at the church, who we are and what we should be as we set out into this new year. And to help us with that, we've got three words beginning with B. Church as body, church as bride, and church as beacon. So today it's body, church as body. But not just any old body. We are the body of Christ. And each of us, says Paul, is a part of it. That's where our passage began, isn't it? Verse 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with the church. Well, that's what we expect it to say, but look at what it actually says. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. Now, it's speaking of the church, but rather than using the word church there, Paul deliberately uses the word Christ. We are the body of Christ, he says. The local church, particularly when the local church gathers, this is true, when the whole body, if you like, is present. Verse 27 expresses the same idea. Just look down there. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. Elsewhere, particularly in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul speaks of the body of Christ being made up of all Christians everywhere, through space and time. We use in the Creed, don't we, that the word Catholic Church, small c Catholic, that means universal, everywhere church, the body of Christ. But here, in Corinthians, Paul is speaking about the church in Corinth, that local church. The church in Corinth is the body of Christ. So the church in Cheam here at CBC is the body of Christ. Church membership is helpful here for expressing who is part of the body. They had some kind of membership in Corinth. And to be a member is to be a Christian first, a believer in Jesus who has the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 13. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. As individuals, you and I have our own individual spirit, don't we? Our own inner self. You are you. I am me. But as Christians, we all have the Holy Spirit too. And it's the one Holy Spirit present in each of us which forms us into one body, which makes unity possible. The Holy Spirit which forms us into Christ's body. Paul talks here about being baptized, immersed in the Spirit. And we think when we hold baptisms here of being united to Christ, don't we? Being joined to him. What's happened to him is now what's happened to me. His death counts for me. His resurrection counts for me. I have life in him. Communion reminds us of this truth. When we share one loaf, we often think of being one when we share the wine and we all drink together. But actually, biblically, it's the one loaf which reminds us we are the body of Christ. Even though we're a mixture of different people from different backgrounds, we are one, says Paul. And we shouldn't miss the categories mentioned here. Perhaps the biggest camps people would have fallen into back then, Jew and Gentile, united. Jew and Gentile separate from each other, distrusting of each other, disliking each other. But in the church, because of the work of the same Spirit, they are united, they are one. Slave and free, completely different upbringings, completely different class of society, completely different backgrounds, traditionally looking up or looking down on each other. But in the church, they're united. They're joined together into one body. They are equal. Christ's body here is a mixture of nationalities, abilities, disabilities, ages, gender, class, wealth. We could go on, couldn't we? The diversity here in this room is amazing. And normally would bring disunity. Yesterday we saw the government in Northern Ireland restored after 3 years of deadlock. And the DUP and Sinn Féin were back working together. And Arlene Foster said this, referring to Michelle O'Neill of Sinn Féin. She said, Michelle's narrative of the past 40 years could not be more different to mine. I'm not sure we will ever agree on much about the past. But we can agree there was too much suffering. And that we cannot allow society to drift back and allow division to grow. What's happened in Northern Ireland yesterday is a picture of what Paul knew of the church in Corinth, although the potential for unity is much stronger in Corinth than it is in the Irish Assembly. Because in Corinth, they're baptized by the one Spirit. And end of verse 13, they're drinking him in too. We are filled with the Spirit, the Bible says. He fills us and so controls us and shapes us, changing our desires and our behaviors, growing his fruit in us, which help us in our relationships with each other, that we'd be loving and kind and faithful, giving us gifts to build each other up. That's what the focus of this part of Corinthians is really about. Gifts of the Spirit which will unite us and make us one. Even so, though, says Paul, verse 14, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. We don't become clones of each other. It's not that we all just become the same. We don't all end up doing the same things or having the same passions. No, we remain diverse while unified. You know, diversity and inclusion are Christian principles. These drives that we've got in society now, they're not new things. It's not the invention of a secular culture. They're here. In Corinth, 2,000 years ago. And Paul goes on to show what that should and shouldn't mean. And he does that by giving us two things that we shouldn't say. The first is this: don't say, "I don't belong here." Verse 15, now if the foot should say, now bear with Paul, he hasn't lost it. He doesn't really think that our feet can speak. They might hum, but they can't speak. No, he's running with the analogy. We're a body. And if we're a body, let's just imagine how that body relates to itself. If the foot should say, "Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason stop being part of the body, that the hand doesn't sort of cut itself off and become independent over here and join with other hands. And if the ear should say, "Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. Notice how the parts commenting on each other are similar, foot and hand. Eye and ear, they've got things related to each other. It's the foot jealous of all the hand can do. It seems to be more involved, more visible, more important to the life of the body. Is there jealousy coming from the foot? Does the ear feel inferior to the eye? I'm overlooked. I'm hidden underneath hair or hats. I'm quite ugly. I wish I was an eye. Stop it, says Paul. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? If we were all brilliant guitar players, where would the variety be within our music? And what would our administration be like? If we were all brilliant listeners, one-to-one, slowing down, tapping in, what would our children's work be like? Look, says Paul, all the parts are needed. They will be different to each other, but joined together, they form one body. And verse 18, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them just as he wanted them to be. God has placed you here. Every one of you, just as he wants you to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts but one body. So don't be the Harry and Meghan of CBC. That's what he's saying. Don't cut yourself off. Don't walk away. Don't think you don't belong here because you're different. God has placed you in this body where he wants you to be. So we should all bring and use what we have for the benefit of the body. Striking thing through our prayer time on Friday night, praying for youth and children's work here, is the need for female leaders. Has God made you a mum or an aunt or a grandma or given you experience in the classroom? Could you use that for the benefit of our children in the church? If you were raised in a different culture to the dominant culture here, maybe English isn't your first language and listening to this sermon is hard work and having conversations afterwards is even harder. Please don't cut yourself off. We need your cultural experience here. Perhaps you could teach us a thing or two about prayer or family or giving. How will 2020 be a year when you bring what you have to the benefit of the body? Where perhaps you've drifted or pulled away, but in 2020 you move in again. We shouldn't say, I don't belong here. Secondly, we shouldn't say, I don't need you. Paul now eyeballs the leaders or the more established church members, if you can eyeball through a letter. And he says, verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Notice here the distance between these parts of the body. The eye and the hand, they're quite a long way apart, aren't they? Quite separate in terms of proximity, that the head and the feet even further, couldn't get further apart. Never touched each other. Always sat on this side or in that corner. But a body can't say those things, can it? The head does need the feet. In so many ways. That the eye does need the hand. In so many ways. It would be crazy for a body to behave like this, wouldn't it? Now, if CBC feels like a place that says that, will you tell us? This shouldn't be a place where you don't feel needed. No, says Paul, verse 22, on the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Your eyelid seems weak, insignificant, small. Many of you probably not thought about your eyelid today. But it's indispensable. And verse 23, the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. That's how our body functions. I guess a lot of us deodorised our armpits this morning. Didn't deodorise other parts of our body, but... And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, some parts of our body always remain covered, even in the swimming pool, but our nose and our wrists, we're not fussed by. But, listen to this again, it's repeated, Paul's already said this, God has put the body together. You, if you're here at CBC, he has put you here. giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body. And notice, the end result isn't equality of role, even equality of status, but of quality of concern for each other. See that in verse 25. So that there should be no division in the body, but equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. If you stub your toe or hurt your back, your whole body is affected, isn't it? So it should be in the church. Now, in a big church, that is harder, isn't it? Because if you sit in this corner or you sit in that corner, you probably don't talk to each other very much. That's one of the lovely things I spotted on Sunday night last week. We're meeting in the halls on Sunday evening, and it means that we're sitting in different places next to different people. That's a good thing. But it's hard in a big church. You cannot get to know everybody in this church. That's why we have growth groups. Opportunity to get to know a few people. To get to share something of what's going on in life for others to get to know you. A place where there ought to be equal concern for each other. Growth groups should be a place for tears as well as a place for laughter. Church should be a community where others weep with you, as well as where others cheer with you. Listen, if church is a place where you come and sing and look at the back of someone else's head and listen and walk away at the end, then something is wrong, says Paul. The Spirit's work in your heart should join you to others. Equal concern for each other. If church is a place where you come when you're on a rota and you do your bit and then walk away, then something is wrong, says Paul. That the Spirit's work in your heart should give you an equal concern for another and allow others to have concern for you. One theologian put it this way: unity in the local church is a reality to be acknowledged, not a potential to be worked towards. Notice that's how Paul writes this section. This is what we are, he says. You are a body. And just as with a body, you cannot say, I don't belong here or I don't need you. You're joined. You are needed. You do belong. We are the body of Christ. And each one of us is a part of it. So how can we grow into being what we are more and more through the year ahead? How do we work at our unified diversity this year? What will that look like for you? How will we together do the work of Christ as the body of Christ? Pulling together, bringing different gifts, embracing and playing to the strength of our diversity. What do you need to do individually to live out this reality this year? How can we more and more be the church we ought to be? Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Let's pray. Our Father God, what an extraordinary reality. But by your grace, through the work of your Holy Spirit, you make us into the body of Christ. As we represent him here, as we do his work here. And all different. Different backgrounds, different experiences, different current struggles. Different gifts, different passions. What potential for this year. The people we could reach, the impact we could have on each other. Oh, Father, help us to play to these strengths. May we more and more be the church you'd call us to be. In dependence on your Spirit. Help us more and more to be the body of Christ this year. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.